Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Today in our epistle text, we want to learn the root of fruit bearing and the fruit of it. And so we begin with verse 25 of chapter 5 of Galatians. St. Paul says this: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. First thing, and this is key that you understand this, so that you realize that all good works, all fruitful godly living begins and grows out of the presence of saving faith worked by the Holy Spirit in the heart of sinners by means of the Word and the sacraments. And so, Paul begins by saying, we live in the Spirit. Every baptized Christian believer, has the Holy Spirit. What happened to us in our baptism is that our sins were washed away and we were born from above. That is, we were born of water and of the Spirit. All right? We were then renewed, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and empowered and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. So we live in the Spirit. This is the sphere in which the Christian lives his life. We live in the grace of God, purchased and won for us once and for all by the doing and dying and rising of Jesus Christ the Lord. We are His. We are under grace. We are not under the law. We are under grace. And therefore, we live in the Spirit. The Spirit is the very air which we breathe, spiritually speaking. All right? So you are alive unto God. You are acceptable to God. You are received by God, all for the sake of Jesus Christ. This has been brought to you in baptism in the gospel, and it is also brought to you in the sacrament of the altar. And you respond to this with faith. Faith is kindled in your hearts by means of the Word, and faith, therefore, begins to bear fruit. You don't bear fruit in order to achieve faith. That's putting the cart before the horse. You have faith in the grace of God, and you are born anew by the working of the Spirit of God. You are renewed as a free gift of grace. And then the believing heart begins to bear fruit unto holiness. All right? So notice how important that first phrase is. If we live in the Spirit, all right? Every baptized believer lives in the Spirit. You are alive to God through Christ Jesus. All right? So you already have eternal life. You already have everything that you need in Christ. So he says, if we live in the Spirit, and we do, let us also walk in the Spirit. All right? Now he says, the appropriate response to our life in the Spirit is that we walk in the Spirit. To walk is to conduct yourself, to move ahead, all right? To walk in the Spirit means to to follow the promptings of the Spirit and to do the will of God rather than our own will. To walk in the Spirit means saying no to sin and yes to the Word of God and the grace of God and all those things that the Bible commends to us as good works. It is the natural result. Well, I shouldn't say natural. I should say it is the spiritual result of saving faith that we bear fruit in a life in the Spirit, that is a life of faithful good works. Right? This is not optional. Right? Too often Lutherans misunderstand the relationship of faith and works, and they get to thinking, well, I'm completely saved by faith alone. Good works are optional. No, good works are not optional. They are the direct result of the word and sacrament by which the Spirit works upon our souls and gives us his gifts. And therefore, if a believing Christian does not walk in the Spirit, if a believing Christian does not follow the teachings of the Word of God, but violates them and rebels against them, that shows that their faith is faulty, if present at all. All right? So, he begins by saying, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then he shows us a number of ways that this works out in the Christian life. And notice how most of these ways are relationally connected, all right? So he says the first thing that this looks like in the Christian's life is this. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, all right? That is, a Christian walking in the Spirit is not an attention seeker. A Christian is not one who is saying, look at me, see how devout I am. Right? The Christian is not desirous of empty boasting. And the Christian does not desire to set himself up over other people in order to provoke them and to envy them, all right? So the first picture that we're given in our text here of what it means to walk in the Spirit is that we have no desire for empty boasting, no desire for vain glory, no desire to put ourselves over people and to provoke them or to envy them. You'd be surprised how much activity is based on envy and keeping up with other people and making ourselves look better in the eyes of men. Christians don't want to be that or do that at all. We don't want to have empty boasting. We don't want to provoke or envy one another. All right, that's number one. Second thing is this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So the second thing is this. When we find someone of the brethren who has fallen into sin, we do not use this as an excuse to boastfully put ourselves above them, to look down on them, and to despise them. But what we want to do is, ye which are spiritual, and that includes every Christian, right? Each in his own calling. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. All right? So our desire towards the sinner, the fallen sinner, is that they may come to the realization of their sin, that they may become alarmed at their sinful condition, and that they may cry out to God for mercy and believe that for Christ's sake their sins are forgiven, that they may be restored into the household of faith. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so it is with we Christians. We desire to see the salvation of the sinner. Right? So our stance towards those who fall is that we desire their help. We desire their amendment of their ways. We desire their return to the faith. And he says also here, because every Christian realizes his own weakness, it says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When you reach out to help someone who has fallen, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Sometimes we think we're stronger than we really are. Sometimes we get ourselves into trouble by putting ourselves in situations that are not good for us, and then we're shocked and amazed that we have fallen into sin. Right? Considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. So the second way of walking in the Spirit, or an example of what it looks like in the life of the Christian, is in a heartfelt and meek-spirited desire for the salvation of the fallen sinner. Right? Number three is a quick one. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, you know, it's easy to be indifferent, especially when people are always needy. It's easy to get tired, right? We'll talk more about that later. But here, walking in the Spirit means that you see someone bearing a burden, and they are showing the results of that burden in their lives. You are called upon to bear that burden with them, to comfort them, to be with them in their sorrow, and fulfill the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. And some people think that they're too busy, they're too important to concern themselves with weak people in their needs. And so Paul says in verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So as a Christian who is living in the Spirit, we want to be walking in the Spirit, and that means that we have a humble attitude about ourselves. If you think you're something when you're nothing, you're deceiving yourself, right? But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. All right, if you want to be confident about something in yourself, then he says, let every man prove his own work. What does that mean? It means to examine yourself, to look into your heart and see what motivates you, to examine your life according to the Ten Commandments and see what your true spiritual condition is. Let every man prove his own work. And then when you've tested out your own work, when you've examined yourself and you're sure of your motives, then you can rejoice in God for yourself and not have to rejoice in God for some other person's good deeds towards you. You see what Paul is saying? If you're going to be boastful about the things which Christ has accomplished in you by his grace, and not be boastful in an empty way. If you think you're something when you're nothing, yourself deceived. But if in humble, lowly faith, you are examining yourself and you are praying to the Lord for forgiveness, life, and salvation, then you have rejoicing in yourself and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Right? Now, he changes gears a little bit here. So in verse 26 and then in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, he's talking about relationships, direct relationships, how you as a Christian deal with other people. And walking in the Spirit, a good deal of that is lived out in our human relationships, in the church, in the community, in our families, etc. He switches gears a little bit here. He talks about stewardship, which is very timely since it is the end of September. Let him that is taught in the word, that would be you, communicate unto him that teacheth, that would be me, in all good things. What is Paul saying here? He's saying one of the ways that walking in the Spirit shows itself is in generous offerings in support of the ministry of the Word. And he says in plain English here, he says, let him that is taught in the Word communicate or share unto him that teacheth in all good things. So walking in the Spirit means that as God has prospered us, we will be generous in our offerings. And then he says more about this. He says, be not deceived. Don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked. God knows your heart. He also knows what you have and what you don't have. And God is not bought off by pious platitudes. God knows your heart. Don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, all right, whatever he gives to, whatever he sows, that shall he also reap. So, if a man soweth to his flesh, if you use your worldly goods chiefly to gratify your flesh, to do the things that you and your body want to do. If that's the way you use the time, talents, and possessions that God has given you, you will of the flesh reap corruption. All right? So we're all sowers. All right? We are either sowing, that is, using our time, talents, and possessions, we're either using them for ourselves, or we are using them for the Lord and the kingdom of heaven's sake. And so he says, he that soweth to his flesh, you spend all your time, talents, and possessions gratifying your flesh, you will end up reaping corruption. But, he says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so, just as we want to walk in the Spirit, so it is we want to sow in the Spirit. And that means that we want to be generous and godly in our use of our time, our talents, and our possessions. All right. Then he goes back to relationships. And in verse 9, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. All right. So, what does it look like to walk in the Spirit? Sometimes you get weary. You know, sometimes you get tired of going to church. Sometimes you get tired of serving in some capacity in the church. Sometimes you wish that somebody else would volunteer to do the thing that you have grown weary of. Sometimes also, especially since when we do good, we are often not thanked for it in the world and even in the church. All right? Not that we should seek thanks, because if you do things in the church, if you do things to seek thanks and recognition, you've already ruined it for yourself. All right? But the idea is sometimes we do good and we get the exact opposite from it that one would expect. And so we get tired of it. We get tired of it. So Paul says, knowing how the flesh is and knowing how people often are, he says, I know that you get tired sometimes. I know that you get fed up sometimes. I know that you get scared sometimes and you feel weak at times. He says, but let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let's not allow ourselves to get tired of doing the necessary good thing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, that is, at God's appropriate time, we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, you know, it looks like we're all give, and there's no get. And what Paul says is, don't worry. The eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And he has revealed these to us in his word by the Holy Spirit. So here, let us not be weary in well-doing, because harvest time is coming. And he says, therefore, since harvest time is coming, and it will be bountiful and abundant, as we therefore have opportunity, as God gives us time and ability, let us do good to all people, especially to them who are of the household of faith, especially to our fellow church members. Let us do good unto all people, especially those who are of the household of faith. So, let's tie this up in a knot here. Paul begins by telling us what makes us so that we are living in the Spirit. It is the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Our sins are washed away. We are born anew. We are renewed in the Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Ghost, and we are empowered and moved to do the will of God. All of this is the work of God, which we receive by faith. Now, this faith, which passively receives all of these gifts, this faith does not remain passive, but it bursts forth in the fruit of godly living according to the Word of God. And so Paul reminds us Christians, we live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. And then he shows us, by rejecting vainglory, by seeking the restoration of the falling, by bearing one another's burdens, by having a right evaluation of ourselves under God's grace, by being generous with our offerings, and by not giving in to the weariness that we so often feel, but to continue to do the good thing that God has called us to do. This is what it looks like to be walking in the Spirit. May the Lord encourage us not only with the fact that we live in the Spirit, but also with his desire for us to walk in the Spirit. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.